Welcome to The Rich Life Show, the show designed to help you build long-term financial success, achieve peace of mind, and enjoy your life through community, family, and faith. Now, here's your host, Rich Life Advisor, Bo Henderson.
It's that time. We're here for the richest hour on the radio, the one place which sole purpose is helping you live your healthy, wealthy, fulfilled life on purpose. I'm Bo Henderson, Master Certified Success Coach and Financial Advisor, and you're listening to The Rich Life Show, where nothing's off limits. We're going to talk about all aspects of living rich: family, relationships, business, faith, finance, success, and health. Nothing's off limits here. You name it, it's your show, and we're here to help you achieve your definition of a rich life. Now, we're going to talk today a lot, and I'm really excited about this because this is very important. It's the importance of good communication. And let's talk about how important that is. How many women would feel more appreciated? How many more men might just stay out of the doghouse? How many kids would get along better with their parents? How many business misunderstandings could be avoided if we did a better job communicating? We're in for a treat because we'll be discussing in detail with communication authority and today's co-host, Dr. Bill Lampton. How you doing, Dr. Bill?
Well, Bo, doing great, and always wonderful to be with you and with your WDUN listeners.
Well, I appreciate it. And guys, for those of you tuning in, hearing that Dr. Bill here with us today, let me tell you, Dr. Bill is our Rich Life Communication Advisor. By definition, I don't know if you realize this, but by definition, you're a Rich Life Advisor, Dr. Bill, because everywhere you go, you're about adding value, making connections, and helping people move forward towards their goals and objectives. So by definition, you are a Rich Life Communication Advisor.
That's quite a compliment, Bo, and I'm always welcome to have my name associated with yours.
Well, appreciate it. So again, Dr. Bill, our history goes back a few years, several years almost now. It's been a while, but Dr. Bill's taught speech communication at the University of Georgia, so he can't be all bad. He served as the vice president of three colleges and a hospital. He's been an author. And he, at Championship Communication, he's a coach, consultant, and mentor. So we're really blessed to have somebody that's so passionate about this topic and this very important topic. So, Bill, what I want to talk about, let's start. I know one of the things we talk about on the Rich Life Show that comes up is money. And we had a question come in. And for any of our listeners, let's just throw this out there now. If you have any money questions or any comments or just want to share what we do every week about what it is that makes your life rich, you know, there's some things that, there's always things going on that we'd love to improve or that we're not thrilled about. But there's also always things when we step that back that we can be thankful for. And if we put our attention and focus on that, then we're creating, remember, what we focus on expands, and we're creating an opportunity to bring more of that into our lives. So what is it going on that is good? Let's focus on that. Let's don't keep that in. Let's shout it out and share. When you share, it blesses us here in the studio, blesses our listeners. And really, at the end of the day, it really blesses you to speak to it. So let us know what's going on that makes your life rich. Or do you have any questions for me or Dr. Bill right here on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 and FM 102.9 WDUN? That's 770-535-2911, 1-800-552-9386. So the first question I want to get to came in from Barbara Peters. And for those of you that know, she's a counselor, and she works with a lot of our when we talk about issues with relationships. And Bill, I know you've interviewed her before on your show.
Yes, and she's not only a counselor, she has written two excellent books about marriage relationships.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. We're actually, it's funny you bring that up. We are working on a project, Conversations Every Couple Must Have About Money, because we started having this dialogue, and she was saying, when I'm counseling these people in their relationships, it keeps coming up that some of the symptoms that come up are around the money in their relationships. And I said, well, that's funny. When I'm talking to people about money, some of the underlying symptoms are coming up with problems in their relationships. So it's like the Reese's commercial. It's like chocolate and peanut butter. Like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe there's something here, and we should address it together. But she sent in this question, and I thought it was valuable because I've heard it several times over the years. She's working with a husband that's been a sole provider, and recently – the wife has obtained a job. Her income was small comparatively, but her husband felt they should pull all the money into a joint account. So he said his money has always been hers, therefore it should be viewed the same with her money, as family money. She felt she'd like to, now that she's working, have some money of her own, so she wouldn't need to ask him or run it by him to do some things, maybe have lunch with the girls, go out and buy an outfit, I don't know. And he felt she should help contribute to the bills, the joint bills, and pay off credit cards sooner. And she felt she shouldn't, but that she would pay some expenses with part of her new income and have the rest for her own in a separate account. So here was the issue that came up that Barbara wanted me to address was, to the husband, this was viewed as threatening because he was afraid it was a sign that, well, maybe she's getting this independence and wanting to separate things. And, wow, what if she ends up leaving the marriage?
I mean, yeah, gets her hands on all the money, she's gone.
Right, right. And so why is this she doesn't want me to be involved here? And from her perspective, again, it was like, I would like some independence and like to do my own thing and not have to run everything by for some free things. And again, there was some contributory factors about, she felt like there was too much control and he had fear around that too much independence. And so they were so far off. She wanted it completely hers and, he wanted it completely joint. And whenever I come across a situation to where it's that far apart, what I'm always looking for is how can we chunk it up to where there's some middle ground and agreement. And what I found very interesting in this is she said, I would pay for some expenses with part of my new income. And the only issue with that is some is not very clear. What does that mean?
Yeah, is it 5%, 10%, 20%, what?
Is it if I have it this month, if I feel like it this month, if I don't do? So what I thought, one of the first notes I had was there is a lack of clarity around definition. So if we could maybe be clear around how we define this, that might help. It always helps if we go back to, because if I say something and you're saying something to me, I'm going to interpret it the way I'd interpret it. So let's get really clear on what we mean. If we can understand that, that's a basis. That's a foundation piece. The second piece here is there's a real emotional charge around those feelings of control and insecurity. So if we can get under that and get to the real issue and how to solve that, because sometimes, I mean, you think about it here with all this political environment we're in, sometimes there's such a charge around issues that there's really hard to have a rational conversation. You know, I'm seeing that all over the place right now because there's just charge either way. And then the third thing, is I wanted to talk about when somebody's so far off, what I've seen work, I've got an idea and a suggestion, but at the end of the day, and we were talking about this earlier, Bill, is sometimes, you know, I've seen it work in every scenario. I've seen couples, my grandparents for years and years and years and years, they've done everything in a joint account. It works beautifully. I've seen couples that do everything separately and it works. And I've seen couples that pool some money for joint expenses and then have separate accounts for personal expenses, and that works. So the answer really is what works for the couple involved. But in this particular couple where they're so far off, they're at opposite ends of the spectrum. Here's something I had come up that's worked in a few scenarios. And basically it is, what is the total gross income coming in? So for some quick math, I did an example that I think would, for some dirty math. So say out of a total gross income, the husband has $8,000 coming in a month. The wife has $2,000. And I did that, so he's got 80% coming in, she's got 20%. My recommendation there would be, let's figure out what our joint expenses are between housing, utilities, what are the joint things, and then have the husband pitch in 80% of those expenses and the wife pitch in 20% so that it's relative to the amount of income they have coming in. And then what's left over above that, then you could have in your own account for some discretionary spending. And I found that to be a middle place that works for couples when they're so far apart. So an example I have, so say there's a joint account. You have the $10,000 coming in, $8,000 from the husband, $2,000 from the wife, and the overall joint expenses were $6,000. So if the husband pays in 80% of that, he's paying in $48,000 of his $8,000. The wife's paying in 20%, which is $1,200 of her $2,000, and then they have the remainder to pull apart in a separate account. So again, just one solution that might work to get them to some middle ground, because right now they're just kind of deadlocked at opposite ends of the spectrum. But the key here, and I think this was a good question to bring up today, is really what comes down to is clarity and defining the situation and good communication.
Being specific, I like that so much, because you and I both know, Bo, that sometimes in the workplace, that's a real problem where, for example, a supervisor hands an assignment to someone and says, I want this soon. Well, does soon mean at 2:00 today? Does it mean tomorrow morning?
To me, it might be within a month.
That's right. That's right. So you do have to define the terms. Now, the other comment I would make is that certainly Barbara Peters, in all of her writing and in her consulting, she knows that disputes over money cause as many marital problems as disputes about in-laws and children and sex and where you're going to live and what size house you're going to have. It would surprise a lot of people, but as you know, money is there very close to the top of the list.
It really is, and it shows up a lot of times as, like in this scenario, the money is the problem coming to the surface, but it really below that is that insecurity and that need for independence.
And control.
So here's the deal. So if they can get clarity and define the situation, look at it a little higher level than the emotional charge that's there, they might can come to a solution. So that would be my advice if I have a couple that comes in and they're trying to figure out how do we make this work, and they're at different ends of the spectrum. But what it does, it reminds me of a quote, and I think you'll like this one. This is by Dr. Lawrence Peters. It says, and this I thought was very relevant when it comes to relationships. It says, "Speak when you are angry, and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret."
I'm going to write that one down.
I thought you might like that one. So, guys, we've got a lot coming up, and we're going to talk about communication, and Dr. Bill Lampton is going to take us to talk about not only how it affects our personal life, and I appreciate the question, Barbara Peters, and I appreciate it because I believe it blessed a lot of people, but we're going to talk about your personal life and how good communication can make us more successful in our business life, and really every area of our life when we come back on The Rich Life Show. So we've been talking about communication and had somebody call in during the break, Renee from Gainesville. You're listening to The Rich Life Show. Do you have a question or do you have something that makes your life rich?
I have something that makes my life rich, but I wanted to start by just making a comment about what you were just talking about with money.
Sure.
I find for me, when money is tight, things in a marriage get tough, and it's just, I think, because of the stress of the uncertainty with the money magnifies every other problem. So I think what you do is important with helping people develop financial stability, because then it also remove stress from the marriage.
Well, no, that's a great point, Renee, and I appreciate you sharing that. That, like we were talking about in that scenario earlier, sometimes the money issues come up, but it's some underlying things like some of the emotional charge, and a lot of times it's really stress.
Yes, absolutely. And the less financial worries you have, the less stress you'll be. Which brings me to what makes my life rich. I teach at a private boarding school, and there's a lot of extra work that teachers do at private schools in general, but especially at boarding schools. And it would be a much more difficult job. And I have friends who teach in public schools, and they're like, "Don't you hate all that extra work?" And I'm like, "You know, I don't mind, because I love my job and I love my students. And I do see the difference I'm making, because many of our students come to us not having experienced success in their previous academic environments. And so today we just finished up parent conferences. It was parent weekend. So yesterday afternoon and all this morning, I've been talking to parents about their sons and the work that they're doing, and just seeing the gratitude from the parents over the changes that we have been able to make in their son's study habits and their academic success. It makes it all worthwhile. And it makes you not mind the extra hours, you know, on the weekends, because they need the extra supervision or whatever the case is. But just knowing that you're making a difference and that you're turning a child's life around and building them with skills, helping them build skills for the future, makes all the difference.
Well, Renee, I so appreciate your comment. And like I was telling Dr. Bill Lampton earlier, by definition, what you just shared with us, you're a rich life advisor. You're willing to do the extra work that it takes, to see these kids know that you're making a difference in helping them move forward in their goals and their future. So I appreciate so much what you do, and thank you for sharing your rich life with us.
Thanks. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate it. So Dr. Bill, let's talk about something. Let's get into this conversation about communication, and let's start with the personal side of things. But I got a quick story, this is a retelling of a story I heard at one time, but I think I got the gist. This might be another one you like. So here we go. John and Bob, they're walking home from church, and John wonders whether it's all right to smoke while praying. Bob replies, "Why don't you ask the pastor?" So John goes up to the pastor and asks, "Pastor, may I smoke while I pray?" The pastor says, "No, my son, you may not. That's utter disrespect for our religion." So John goes back to his friend and tells him what the pastor told him, and Bob says, You know, I'm not surprised. You asked the wrong question. Let me try. So Bob goes to the pastor and asks, Pastor, may I pray while I smoke? And the pastor eagerly replies, by all means, son, by all means. So the moral of that story is the reply you get depends on the question you ask.
Yes, it does. And it kind of reminds me of that old saying, don't put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
I've heard you say that before. That's great. I love that. So great story. But let's move to the serious idea of communication and our personal success. So where did you want to start? You told me a lot of times that it's not, you know, I focus a lot on the professional and helping people grow their business, but it really matters in your personal life.
Oh, yes, it does very much. In fact, I think I'd like to preface it all with a statement that I share with every audience, whether it's a speaking audience or whether it's a seminar audience or whether it's an individual that I'm coaching. And it's my favorite statement from Daniel Webster, one of America's greatest orators and statesmen. And it goes like this, Bo. He said, if I were to lose all of my possessions except one, I would save the power of communication, for by it I would soon regain all of the rest. And that does tell the power of communication. Unfortunately, there are many people in our current economic setting who have lost everything, are on the verge of doing it. How do they get it back? It's going to be through their communication skills.
Well, you're right. It's kind of one of those things you've heard stories of. If I was dropped on a desert island, if I had certain skills that I could make it back no matter where I was dropped. And communication, that's a key skill. But talk to us a little bit about what is it that really our communication determines a lot of things. What are some of those things?
Well, it determines, you talked about marital relationships. It determines, if you can get somebody to marry you, whether you can be persuasive. And of course, staying married takes great communication. Communication determines our relationships with our children. It determines our friendships. It determines the relationships that we build in the community. And of course, the people, Bo, who are going to get hired and promoted and put in big leadership positions are the ones who can relate one-on-one. They can run group meetings, and they can speak at their company's annual convention if they need to.
Yeah, very good. So that's now your key is I run across a lot of people that have a powerful message and a powerful story, but if you can't communicate it, it does no good.
No, it has to get out there, and it has to get out there in a way that people can relate to it. For example, as you mentioned at the start of the show, I'm a former University of Georgia professor, but when I talk to audiences, I don't want to come across as a professor. In fact, I usually say this is not a lecture. Don't let my background fool you into thinking that this is going to be a lecture. This is highly interactive, as all good communication should be.
It's a communication. And Bill, before we go to a break in about 30 seconds, let's talk about this. You know, we're talking about the power of communicating to other people, but I think there's something real important that people need to understand is how we talk to ourselves.
Absolutely. There's a wonderful book I want to recommend. It's by Shad Helmstetter. And the title of the book is What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. And let's use a quick example here. Many people are going through job interviews. What do you say to yourself before you go into that interview? If you say, well, I can't get the job, guess what? You're not going to get it.
It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
So how you talk to yourself is very important. We got so much more with communication in your personal life, your business life. Thank you so much for sharing, Renee. What makes your life rich? We'll be right back on The Rich Life Show.
Welcome to The Rich Life Show, the show designed to help you build long-term financial success, achieve peace of mind, and enjoy your life through community, family, and faith. Now, here's your host, Rich Life Advisor, Bo Henderson.
Well, we've had a great conversation started so far about the power of communication, and I want to talk, you know, Dr. Bill Lampton, who's an authority and what I consider our Rich Life Advisor on the topic, is here with us today. So we're very fortunate. So, Bill, let's talk to our listeners about communication on the personal level.
Yes, you and I said at the outset of the show that we could divide communication and how we succeed in it on both the personal and the professional level. We may not get to cover the professional level. Heck, Bo, I may have to come back for that sometime.
Yeah, if we don't get to it, I'm just going to make an exception and have you come back in.
Doggone. Well, on the personal level, there are three or four quick tips I would give. One is, if you're going to succeed in communicating on the personal level, here's something that I believe many people overlook. We have to be a well-informed person on a wide variety of topics. For example, Bo, you're being a former defensive end at the University of Georgia. You naturally are very interested in what happens today at 3:30 in Jacksonville.
How did I know you'd bring in the Georgia-Florida game in some way, form, or fashion?
It had to be done.
I know it.
Well, at any rate, suppose, Bo, you were in a coffee shop somewhere today, which you often do, and you met somebody and you said to them, hey, you know, I'm really excited about the game today. How about you? And they say, what game? Now, how are you going to establish, do you want to establish a relationship with somebody who knows that little about what's going on? So I would advise our listeners, if you want to establish meaningful personal relationships with people, one of the best things to do is to get well informed. And this brings to mind the expression, hey, you know that guy? Yeah. He looks good and he moves good, but he's an empty suit.
Right.
And that's what that means. They're really not well informed. Today, with the internet, with all the access we have quickly and repeatedly, 24 hours to news, we ought to know something about everything. Bo, I'm not a baseball fan at all, but I can promise you, when World Series week comes up, I pay a lot of attention to it because I know that's what people are going to be talking about. So, number one, be well informed. Secondly, though, let's turn that around. You want to be able to talk, yes, about topics, but very importantly, secondly, become a very good listener. I'm sure that you and many of our listeners remember that Stephen Covey said, seek first to understand and then to understand. And we say, hey, wait a minute. I want everybody else to understand me first. You may want that. But the way to truly, again, establish strong relationships is to listen very intently and to get not only the words, but to get what I believe is Peter Drucker said, the meaning between the words.
Well, and you bring up a good point, Bill, because often by seeking to understand or get the information or asking the right questions first, you almost earn the right for somebody to ask you back or understand you. So it's almost a, you know, I think too many times people, especially in the business setting, I know we're talking about personal, they're pushing their product, their business, their agenda, but hey, you know the best way to get somebody interested in you?
Listen.
Be interested in them and listen.
And that's been the biggest change in sales strategy over the past 25 years. Salespeople have learned now you don't really make a sale with your mouth, you make it with your ears. A third item I would say as far as improving our personal communication is to avoid what I would call trigger words.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, and what would trigger words be? Well, one would be the word all, where we classify people into groups. For example, Bo, you would be quite offended if I said all football players or all ex-football players are criminals. You wouldn't like that at all. And we do that. We categorize. We stereotype. Another word would be never, such as if my wife said to me, you never clean up your room. And I'd say, you're wrong. I did it 3 weeks ago on Thursday. So always, never,
or. I did in 1984.
1984. She's got a bad memory. Or that's just like you. Or that's just like those people. Avoid all those general categories.
Well, and, you know, I love that because you said general categories. It's generalizations that are lumping people into an assumption.
And I can give you an illustration here personally. I grew up as an identical twin. And one of the problems that my twin and I had all along, our parents dressed us alike, and they made sure everybody knew we were twins. It wasn't until we got to college that we had our own identity. And we didn't like people assuming that because one of us felt a certain opinion or had certain habits or different things they liked, that the other one would automatically like that. I didn't like being stereotyped. I lived in the Midwest for 10 years. I didn't like the stereotype that people would have when they find out that originally I was from Mississippi. No, your judgments about me are wrong. I don't fit the category that you're thinking. So treat people as individuals and don't use those generalities.
Well, and that brings up another point I want to bring up is you are not who you're communicating with. And I find that whether it's coaching or whether we're talking about a financial plan or scenario, and with a partner or a spouse, it's but the way I see things and the way I view the world is not necessarily the way you do. And if I can be mature enough to realize that, then maybe we can get to some meaningful communication. And it brings up a quote. I'm big on these quotes today. I'm loading your tool belt.
I'm writing them down.
Okay. How about this is from Anthony Robbins. To effectively communicate, we must realize that we're all different in the way we perceive the world and use the understanding as a guide to our communication with others.
Yes. We call it perception.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't understand what somebody else is saying, how can you respond accurately, creatively, and even caringly?
Right. And it gets back to where you started this conversation is if we can seek first to understand the other person, then to be understood. So we really are really just flip-flopping that. That's might even be natural to try to be understood and try to be put our agenda first. But when we can flip-flop that, that's where we see success happen.
And one more point, getting back to where you started quoting Barbara Peters, the marriage expert. As you know, I've been married for quite a few decades.
Wait, let me say something about that. Mm-hmm. I saw this picture of Sandra, and I thought it was at a wedding, but I'm so glad that you guys connected because she was there at that wedding with some handsome guy in a tuxedo. I don't know how that happened.
Well, what you're referring to is that one of our daughters, when we had an anniversary recently, one of our daughters put our wedding picture on her Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, showed up on our Facebook pages. And what I was getting to is that what has made our marriage really become a rich life marriage is that we recognize that the early perceptions that we had where we wouldn't adjust to what the other one was saying or thinking, those were destroying our relationship. Plus, over the decades, we've recognized that we have become different people. And so Sandra's not perceiving
point.
People like perceiving situations like she once did. I'm not. So we adjust. And every year, you're probably going to have some new way that you need to understand the other person's perception is vital.
No, that's a beautiful point that the power of communication, especially in people that are growing and changing, to make sure you're still on the same page.
Yes, I've had three or four different lives, and most of us have.
Well, very good, Bill. Thank you so much for sharing. It's always a blessing for us and our listeners about personal communication. We're going to have you back on our professional lives real soon. When we come back, we'll be talking with Alan Jernigan from Southern Companions, and we'll be discussing a topic your family needs to know about when it comes to home-based adult care. It affects most of us.
Thanks, Mo. Great to be with you.
Tell me something good.
Look at that. Tell me something good. Dr. Bill Lampton always telling us something good when it comes to communication. And we covered our personal communication today. And now I'm excited to be introducing, this is a great local business, and we have Alan Jernigan from Southern Companions here in the studio with us today. Let me tell you a little bit about Alan. He has over 20 years experience in commercial lending and banking. He's been a home builder, and he's a golfer. There you go. And a motorcycle enthusiast, active in mission work. But to me, Alan, it sounds like, you know, you've done some of these works in finance and money like me, but you found an even bigger mission with helping people and serving people. And this is something when we talk about home care and home health care, we're talking about something that's going to affect most of us, either our parents or our grandparents or us individually. So let's let our listeners know, what is it they need to know? Because there's a lot of misinformation and bad information out there.
Certainly is. I got into this about 3 years ago. I'm fortunate to have two grandparents still with me, and actually had a third just pass away a few months ago. And Just really didn't like what we saw in the home care industry. A lot of people would come take care of grandmother, talk on their cell phone, watch TV, and grandmother sat in the corner, which was not very good for them. So, and with the growing population of baby boomers now hitting 65, there's a huge need for home care. So, and the importance of staying at home, you know, it allows seniors to maintain their independence, keep some continuity, which is great for as the memory starts to go. Mine's going now. So I'm hoping to stay at home as long as possible. And it allows them to, you know, continue their social network of their neighbors and friends.
Well, and, you know, Alan, that's one of the biggest things I hear from clients that come in. We're planning for the income for the rest of their retirement is that, hey, I really would love to be able to stay at home if it came to something like that.
I was meeting with a potential client this week, and she was really, you know, hemming and hawing over the cost of staying at home and having someone there with her. And her daughter said, "Mama, you save for a rainy day," and it's raining. So, and unfortunately, we find so many people that they get to this age and they don't have any way to take care of themselves. Children are gone or didn't have children, and they're out there on their own. You know, the cost of a nursing home for a year can exceed $70,000-$80,000. So a lot of times if they've got a home that's already paid for, they're getting some income, we can come in and help them stay there, maintain that independence, keep a place that they've grown to love, and be with their family more.
Well, you know, we've been talking about communication today, so this is a timely topic because these are conversations that may not be fun, but they're conversations families need to have.
They are.
Because if we have the conversations after the fact, we're reacting and we have less choices, and if we can plan a little bit. So that brings me to the next. How do we prepare for the future?
Well, probably one of the best ways is like a long-term care insurance policy. We've got a lot of patients that use those. If they start them earlier in life, it's not a very expensive product.
Right.
And that will help them to maintain that independence by being at home.
Well, and that's one of the things that comes up too. Do you have an ideal age that you suggest people actually start having that conversation and look into that kind of insurance?
Earlier the better.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could do it in your 20s or 30s, but of course we're not thinking about retirement.
Right.
I've hit that age now where it's not that far away. It's 20, 25 years, I hope. But we get patients that are in their 50s that have had some debilitating injury. And they can't take care of themselves anymore. So it's important to maintain that.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a good thing to bring up because if we don't have these conversations, again, like I was saying earlier, if typically I'll have people actually call in and come in after something bad's happened or looking for insurance after something's happened.
Right.
But if we'll have these conversations and we'll be proactive with this and realize, hey, what's the statistics that this event's going to happen with some of our people, with our family?
They say that 2 in 3 senior citizens will become physically or mentally disabled.
So 2 out of 3 will need some form of long-term care.
And they say that the average number of days that they need care is over 900. So that's 2.5, almost 3 years that somebody needs care, and that can be very expensive.
So it's not, you know, when we talk about the statistics and we look at the reality of it, we're looking that it's not that it's an outside possibility it may happen. It's a really good probability that it will happen, and we need to protect against it. So when we come back, let's talk about how do you help people with this right here on the Rich Life Show. We went to the break and we've been talking to Alan Jernigan from the Southern Companions team. And Alan, the question I have about this very important conversation is, how do you help these people stay at home?
Well, we've got a great team of caregivers that, one, you know, we background check, we drug test them, we train them, and they go through ongoing training. I get a lot of people say, hey, I can get Susie down the street that can watch Mama. You know, she's going to charge me $8 an hour. Well, you know, Susie might get sick or
car might break down, or she might rob you blind too. So there's a lot of dangers there. And if that person were to get hurt in your home, there's some issues. You know, homeowners insurance might not pay for that. So we're a non-franchise company. My business partner, Tim Taylor, and I started this together. And we go out and visit every family before we send a caregiver. That way we can match them up. And I'll use the analogy, it's like Match.com. But you got to make sure both sides are happy, because you've got someone living in your home. So they've got to be very comfortable and able to do the job that we need them to do.
Well, it's one of the most important decisions. I mean, you think about it. It's your mom, or it's your grandmother, or, you know, it might even be you. I mean, do you want somebody, like you said, do you want somebody that's a minimum wage worker, or do you want somebody that might even have some skills if something didn't just go the way we plan it?
Right. We use certified nursing assistants. They've been through that training and have that certificate, so they have the ability. They're all trained with first aid CPR. So, you know, it makes a big difference than just someone babysitting.
Right. So we had, again, we talk about this communication, and this is important with our family. This isn't a fun or necessarily even an easy conversation to have, but I'm going to tell you, it's an important conversation to have. What's the plan? What's the plan moving forward? So, Alan, is there anything, as we wrap in this, we got about 20 seconds here, 10 seconds here, is how people can get in touch with you and maybe have this conversation to be prepared?
Well, you can reach us at 678-971-4147 or our website at southerncompanions.net.
Very good, Alan. I appreciate your mission and your message, and we'll have to have you back to educate us on these opportunities, because it's a very important topic. And thanks again, Dr. Bill Lampton, giving us skills for communicating and being effective.
Great to be with you, as always. Looking forward to coming back and talking about professional communication.